The title to today's devotion is I Want to Know Christ, to Know the Power of His Resurrection. The title to this devotion is taken from one of my favorite Bible verses, Philippians 3, verse 10. Let us read the verses around it to get the connection, to keep in context with what the Apostle Paul is seeking to say. Philippians 3, 7 to 10. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. I make no apology for repeating myself when explaining how we should read and study the Bible. That as well as reading around the verse to get the context, we should stop and meditate on it to allow God to reveal deeper truths to us, to assist us in our walk with Jesus. We should pause and meditate on God's word to allow the Holy Spirit to feed our souls, just like when we're eating. When I was young, I was told not to bolt my food, but to chew it to allow the saliva to mix with the food to assist the digestion. Likewise, we should stop and meditate on a verse or a word to allow the Holy Spirit to energize our heart and feed us with understanding. It is much like when we allow meat to sit for a while with herbs to marinate. Likewise, as we meditate on the word, you will allow the Holy Spirit to release beautiful, rich, inspiring, refreshing revelations of the Lord. As the psalmist says in Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. So let's begin to unwrap the words of this short verse. We can split the verse into three parts. The first part of the verse reads, I want to know Christ. Then the second phrase, to know the power of his resurrection. And the final words, participate in his sufferings. I'll be sharing the latter two parts in following devotions. First, the words, I want to know Christ. Think of you travelling in an aeroplane high in the sky. You look down to see a great panorama of fields and cities below. But in order to get a more detailed understanding, you need to be on the ground and walk around to discover in more detail. Yes, we need to read the whole Bible right through to get an overall picture. This we will call looking at the Bible telescopically. Here we're going to look at just a verse more closely and in more detail. We're going to look at the verse microscopically. So, what does Paul really mean by knowing Christ? After all, he already knew Jesus, having had the dynamic encounter of Jesus on the Damascus Road in Acts 8. We also hear how he testified that life-changing experience to the people in Acts 22, verses 1 to 21. This is what Paul says. Brothers and fathers, listen now to my defense. When they heard him speak to them in Aramaic, they became very quiet. Then Paul said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison. As the high priest and all council can themselves testify, I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring those people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" I asked. "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." He replied, "My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me." "What shall I do, Lord?" I asked. "Get up," the Lord said, "and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do." My companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that very moment I was able to see him. Then he said, "The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. You will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. And now, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." When I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw the Lord speaking to me. "Quick," he said, "leave Jerusalem immediately, because the people here will not accept your testimony about me." "Lord," I replied, "these people know that I went from one synagogue to another to imprison and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I stood there giving my approval and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him." Then the Lord said to me, "Go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles." From this testimonial, we see Paul had so many special encounters with Jesus. First, the shining light on the Damascus road. Then God sent Ananias to him and told him what Jesus was going to give him to do. And then he had a vision, seeing and hearing Jesus speak to him in the temple. What more did he need to know about Jesus? We know that through life, we are constantly learning about life and constantly learning, growing in wisdom and understanding. You will discover that all along your Christian pathway, you will never get to know Jesus fully until you meet him face to face. This is what the apostle was seeking to tell us. Every day of our lives there are new things to know and much greater wisdom and understanding to learn as we grow in our faith, making us more able to serve him. For myself, being on the Christian road for nearly 66 years, I can testify that very wisely Jesus will not reveal himself to you all at once. He feeds us a little at a time. Our understanding grows because the Holy Spirit enhances, opens up words and verses, illuminating our understanding in a most beautiful way. There will be the occasion when we will suddenly experience a light bulb moment about a word or phrase. And then, whenever we encounter that word in the Bible, it has a deeper understanding, and suddenly we receive an explosion of overwhelming understanding that can so excite our spirit. We read what Jesus said in John 21:25. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. John the disciple had a secret of knowing Jesus. John was referred to as the one who Jesus loved. John was young, yet he had the know-how by the Holy Spirit to discover Jesus in a way none of the other disciples could at that time understand. And we need to take to heart the lessons. At the end of Jesus' time on earth, while the 12 disciples were about to partake of what we call the Last Supper, we read in John 13, verses 21 to 25. "After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, 'Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me.' His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know what he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to the disciples and said, "Ask him what one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" John had a childlike, open heart. He was willing to make himself vulnerable as to what Jesus might say. Whenever John asked Jesus a question, yet at the same time, John grew to love Jesus. Their relationship soon bonded. We have to have that same spirit of openness to allow Jesus to speak intimately to our hearts and allow a strong bond and relationship to grow. Paul, who said, "I want to know Christ," summed up his understanding of Jesus when he said in Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out!" My wife and I rotationally read the Bible right through. Having been a reader of the Bible for over 70 years, each time I read the Word of God, regularly a word or phrase stands out as if it had been added. It seems as though if I were reading it for the first time. The joy and beauty of reading the Bible is that God's Holy Spirit illuminates the words. It is like when you read an article on your computer, a small box comes up with an illustration or explanation to what a word or phrase means. So does the Holy Spirit illuminate our hearts as he lovingly highlights the word and pages of Holy Writ. I recall a Bible teacher who frequently stayed at our home when I was young. While staying each evening, he visited our local chapter and gave good Bible teaching. In those days, few folk had a telephone. The only other alternative way of keeping or communicating was by letter. One evening during the sermon, he described how he and his wife daily exchanged letters. He would eagerly awake the letter each morning and begin to read. But, having quickly read through the letter to get the general theme of the letter, he would again read it more slowly and at times pause. He emphasized how the way his wife wrote the letter, he could almost hear her voice actually speaking to him. But above that, he could sense how she felt when writing the letter. He could feel her love for him shining through the pages. True is the quotation. What he was trying to say is that he was reading between the lines. The Bible is the inspired word of God. In diligently meditating on the word of God, Jesus is seeking to convey his love and affection to each person who reads and studies the Bible. Let us hear how Jesus prayed to his Father for his disciples and all who would become followers of him in the future. Jesus prayed in John 17 verses 25 and 26. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Jesus had a passion to convey to each one of us his love. In turn, he wants us to return that love both in word, but also in deed. Do we have that deep love for him? Do we have a passion to fulfill his every desire, to show we love him? Let us turn the clock back to when most of us who are married first fell in love. Inside us, a small spark of affection began to build. And when we discovered the friend we were building a relationship with was also keen on us, do you remember what quickly started to transpire? Our thoughts were overwhelming with thinking about them. We could not wait to ring them up to spend hours talking, getting to know one another. We wanted to spend time with one another to discover our interests in life. This is the pattern we should be taking when we first catch Jesus into our life. The Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road certainly had a life-changing encounter which resulted in a deep, living relationship with Jesus. No way would he ever want to turn back on Jesus. Have you had that life-changing experience of meeting the living Christ? To know your past sins have been forgiven, then to experience an inner peace and joy that no one can take from you? As a result, is your life set on spending as much time as possible with him through prayer, reading the Bible and knowing and understanding him better? Because of the love you have for him, are you seeking his will for your life? How you may please him and be willing to do whatever he asks, at whatever the cost? This is what Paul was meaning when he said, I want to know him. If you have not experienced that deep change in heart, allowing Jesus to renew you, now is the time to make that decision. Every day and every minute, right now, men and women throughout the world are making that right choice. While Paul was in prison, a warder in danger from his life cried out to Paul and Silas in Acts 16:30-31. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. We're all unworthy sinners. We all need to ask God for forgiveness and ask him to come and be our Lord of our life. He is waiting and longing to hear you call out to him. Standing back and reflecting on the verse we are thinking about, I realize it is all about how Paul can serve God in the most effective way. He first needed to know Christ, but not in a shallow way. He needed to know the secrets to the power of the resurrection and be able to serve with his head up high, as he already knew it had a cost. He already knew what it was to be scorned and persecuted, but above all, he needed an anchor to his soul. He wanted to intimately know Jesus, to know all there is to know. What is the secret to a sound, stable, long-lasting marriage? It is that the couple have a deep love for one another. We read what Paul says about God's true love in 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. The apostle was not talking about the love of mankind. He was talking about the unique, special, untarnishable love of God. When we are passionately anchored into God's love, we too will know that unbreakable bond and anchor we have in Jesus. We will know what the psalmist said in Psalm 139:5. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Be encouraged by what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. Let me finally pray the prayer for you, which the Apostle prayed to the Ephesian church in Ephesians 3:14-21. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The words of a hymn leave us with a question. A question which I would love to leave with you, which says, will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong ties lift and the cables strain? Will your anchor drift or firm remain? The chorus gives us the answer. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast, sure, while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, fastened firm and deep in the Saviour's love.